Thank you, Ken. Did you notice there was a condition there? If means there's condition. The Lord would desire to set any nation high above, high in blessing, high in His goodness, to experience the riches and the fullness that He desires for all men. Because remember what the Scripture says, there is no partiality with God, is there? He richly blesses all who call on Him in truth. But in order for our nation to be blessed, let's look at some Scriptures. Because we have issues going on today that we should be gravely concerned about. In Psalms 11 verse 3, we read, "When the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And what foundation are we talking about? The foundation of righteousness. It's righteousness that pleases the Lord. God blesses the home of the righteous, those who walk in His ways, those who honor Him, those who sanctify His name, those who walk according to His instructions and commandments. That's where His blessing is, because His blessing is upon His own ways. But look, and that's why Proverbs 14:34 says, "It is righteousness that exalts a nation." Well, we know that the righteous live by faith. So really what's exalting a nation is any nation that believes God's word to be true, sound counsel, life and protection for them, and walks according to that, of course, that exalts a nation. But look what it says. "But sin is a reproach." In the Septuagint, the Greek word used for the Greek version of the Old Testament is that sin diminishes a people. So if a nation becomes sinful and its foundation of righteousness is being eroded, you can expect to see the nation experience a diminishing of the blessing and the goodness of God. Now fortunately, we in the formation of the government that we live under as a nation, we were fortunate and blessed to have been influenced mightily by the gospel and by the precepts of God's word. They're infused in our Constitution and in our bylaws, the articles of the Constitution, because Christian men and their understanding had a great influence. I just selected one just to give you an example. And his name was Noah Webster. You probably heard of him. One of the largest dictionaries, unabridged dictionaries ever. It's about that thick if you've ever seen one. One of the original. But he was one of the men, early founders of this country. And this is what he said. The religion which has introduced civil liberty is the religion of Christ and His apostles. This is genuine Christianity, and to this we owe our free constitutions of government. And he went on to say, "The Christian religion is the basis, or rather the source, of all genuine freedom in government. And I'm persuaded that no civil government of a republican form," that's our government, we are a republican form of government. Listen to this statement very carefully. "I am persuaded that no civil government of a republican form can exist and be durable in which the principles of Christianity have not a controlling influence." Because if you give people freedom of choice and they are not controlled by the principles of Christ, they will turn around and use that personal choice for self-gratification of all kind. And do you see what's happening in our own country? Are you familiar? In the song the choir sang, and we sang it as a congregation, America the Beautiful, the author of the song understood it in this verse where he says, "America, America, God mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law." Liberty as God envisioned it. the liberty that is spiritual, the liberty that comes from God, that God intended for man, is a liberty that is designed to be according to His law. Even the law of the Spirit of life. It's called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Those who are led by the Spirit don't live without law. They live without the law of Moses, but they have the law of God written where? On their hearts. So they are a people with the law of God deeply implanted within them by God's Spirit. And His Holy Spirit leads those who know Him and live by His Spirit to walk according to His law. This is something that we need to understand. And this, it's this foundation that is being destroyed in our own country. The foundation that what is right, that which is just and righteous, should be according to what God has revealed through His Word. And that is being eroded. That understanding, that controlling influence of Christianity upon our republican form of government is being eroded. We still have the majority rules. We still have a democracy. You know, democracy means, demokratas, it means the dominion or the domain of the people, the government of the people. We still have that. But what's happened is since with the control of Christianity's moral influence eroding, God's liberty that's founded in righteousness is being undermined. And it's being undermined by an unseen force. You know, most of us have grown up, at least now, that you're aware of the Star Wars. You know, so you know about the Force. And there's the good Force, may the Force be with you. But then there's the dark side of the Force. Well, it's interesting. There is a dark side. There is an unseen force that's eroding the righteousness of God and His laws and their controlling influence in our country. But this force has been eroding and at work for a very long time. Paul actually mentions what the force is, and he calls it a mystery. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, Paul wrote, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work." The reason it's called a mystery is because it's not obvious. It's there. Its influence is permeating many in society, but you can't see it. It's not obvious to everyone. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Now, God has appointed His own servant to restrain this mystery of lawlessness that is already at work. And of course, Paul wrote this to the church of Thessalonica. So we're seeing this. If it was already at work then, it's had 2,000 more years to continue working. And our society is being affected by this mysterious lawlessness that is already at work. It's the unseen force that's eroding the principles upon which our nation was founded. So We need to get an understanding as believers, what is lawlessness? What is lawlessness? John names lawlessness in a simple way in his letter, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. John says, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." So lawlessness is sin. We know that sin means to miss the mark. But lawlessness is something that you get a better understanding of if you know your Bible well, particularly the Old Testament. The reason that is when God chooses a word to describe or summarize the actions of His people, you know, it's not the specific. His people committed all kinds of transgression. They stepped beyond His specific written law in many ways. And it looked It looked various ways. But it all fit under the umbrella of a term that God called lawlessness. Because all that they did, they would not have done had they taken His law seriously. So can you see what lawlessness is? It is acting by what you think or acting by what you want without considering the law of God to be your guide. It's not necessarily holding your middle finger up at God. It's not defiance. It doesn't have to be aggressive or mean. It is simply disregarding. It is setting aside. It is not giving weight. It is not ordering your life according to what He has said. That's why it's mysterious. Because what's mysterious about it is everyone, every one of you, myself, everyone here is going to try to do what's right. But if your attempt to do what's right is without due consideration to what God has said, you're acting lawlessly, even if you don't realize it. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Why is it the ways of death? Because even though it seemed right to him, it only seemed right to him because he did not consider what God had said. He did what was right in his own eyes without consulting God. That's lawlessness. And it's lawlessness that Jesus said would be increasing in the last days. Do you remember what he said? Due to the increase of lawlessness, what's going to happen? The love of the many shall wax cold. Now, he's not talking about the love of pleasure. That's not waxing cold. He's not talking about the love of money. That's not waxing cold. He's not talking about the love of riches and fame. That's certainly not waxing cold. What love is waxing cold? Love for God. Love for truth. Love for righteousness. That's waxing cold. While men, the Bible says specifically, Paul said, the Holy Spirit says that the last days are going to be very perilous times. You know why? Number one, men will be lovers of themselves. That's difficult because when you love yourself more than God, do you consult Him first with your actions and your choices? No. It's about what you want. It's about your freedom and about your right. And guess what? What is the theme of our society today? My rights. What I have the right to do. So Matthew 24 tells us lawlessness is going to increase. And as lawlessness increases, liberty erodes into licentiousness. That's a big word, old English word. You know what licentiousness means? Basically, it's a personal license for self-indulgence. It's just self-indulgence. I'm free to indulge myself. You can't tell me what I can or can't do. Don't judge me. That's the world's favorite verse. Judge not, lest ye be judged. No one can tell me what's right or wrong. If I want to live with this lady, I will. If I want to live with this man, I will. If I want to take this pregnancy that's in me because I don't want to have a baby, I will. Personal choice supersedes any consideration of God's Word. Now, this is interesting, this mystery of lawlessness. I was reading through the Old Testament one day and I came across the passage in Zechariah chapter 5 where the prophet is given a vision of a basket with a woven basket with a lead top. And in this vision, the lid is lifted off and sitting in this huge basket is a woman. And someone comes back and puts the lid back on the basket and two ladies come with wings. And they lift up the basket and they take the basket to the plain of Shinar. Now Shinar is one of the old Hebrew names for Babylon. Babylon was on the plain of Shinar. So here's this basket with this woman in it who's kept in there, and these ladies with wings lift up the basket, carry it to the place of Shinar for a house to be built. And in the Septuagint, Zechariah is told who the woman is. He says, "The woman, this is lawlessness." Wow. Lawlessness in a basket taken to the plain of Babylon for a house to be built. You know when she reappears? You know when the next time this woman reappears? It's in the book of Revelation, chapter 17. And she's called Mystery Babylon the Great. Boy, a house has been built for her. And it's some kind of house. And she's called the Mother of Harlots. It's an interesting term. Why would you call someone the Mother of Harlots? Because you know what a harlot is? You know what the difference between a harlot and a wife is? A wife is faithful to her one husband. But a harlot uses physical intimacy for personal pleasure. And this woman represents an attitude in the world, an evil power of seduction that turns the goodness of God into things that men pursue that actually draw them away from Him rather than faithfulness to Him. And she, this evil, this lawlessness is symbolized as a person. And it says this of her: "And the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." The reason that's an interesting term, because over and over and over, the prophet in the Old Testament said that God's own people were unfaithful to Him because they went after other idols, after other ideas, after other religions to fornicate themselves. That's His word He used over and over, this idea of being unfaithful to God. So Mystery Babylon symbolizes an evil that has spread to every nation, seducing men away from serving God by promoting a self-indulgence of their base appetites. And they do it just for pleasure. And it's interesting, it's the things that men highly esteem now. In Luke chapter 16, verse 15, speaking to the Pharisees, Jesus, knowing they love money, said this: "The things that are highly esteemed among men are an abomination to God." So you know, it says that the whole earth is drunken the wine of her fornication, and she's covered with all kind of names of blasphemy. If you read about her in the book of Revelation, you'll see that she has a cup, and she makes all the nations of the earth drink of this cup. And it says the cup is a full of abominations. But you see, in other words, this woman is offering men what society esteems the most: wealth, power, fame, indulgence. The things that, if not used for God's honor and glory, and the things that, if they are not in accordance with His law, He considers an abomination. You see, God never meant for freedom to become justification for self-indulgence. He never intended freedom to become that. And Paul knew that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. He said, "For brethren, you've been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for your flesh. No, in love, serve one another." The liberty of a Christian should be this: liberty from slavery to corruption. Liberty from addiction to bad desires. And liberty to live, to serve others, and find your life and your joy in being a blessing rather than self-pleasure. That's the liberty that God has. But under the influence of the mystery of lawlessness that's increasing, the moral foundation of righteousness in our nation is being destroyed. Let's just consider some of the changes we've observed in our own lifetime. And I want some interaction with you. Just some of the, let's just consider them. Modesty. Have you seen a change in modesty in your lifetime? Things were not even permitted to be worn. Are not only permitted, they're defended. If you raise an objection, you're considered backward. Court cases, courts, being when a parent or a group that disagrees with some kind of specific guideline for dress at a particular place can step in and override parental wishes or the agreed upon decisions of school boards. And now, some of you older here, would you have ever imagined that you to see what you're seeing now? That's just in our lifetime. That's just in the last 40 to 50 years. Below the knee used to be kind of risque, wasn't it? We can see your socks, that's okay. Then it just started like a thermometer, and it went, and the more it rises, the more passion rises. Look, and what's happening? Look at the result on marriage. Look at pornography. Look at even ministers. You know, they say, it was so sad to hear this, but James Dobson found that in his survey, even in the ministry, those struggling against the influence of this change in our culture are many. Sadly. You see it. Do you see lawlessness increasing? It's not just someone bold enough to try anymore. It is a whole group of people saying, we will wear what we want, and you keep your morals to yourself. It's bold, isn't it? That's what's happening now. And then what about marriage? How many of you would have thought you would live to see the day when, now, the majority of states in the United States, in our nation, have legalized same-sex marriage? Now, I'm not saying the answer is our protesting and making illegal something that people want to do. Jesus didn't try to stop the Romans from doing what they were doing, did he? Jesus didn't try to stop the high priest from doing what they were doing. But for a government to tell us that it's an infringement upon the personal right of others to express your opinion, you know, now we already see this in Canada, and there's already several places in the United States where court cases are being tested on something called hate speech. You know what hate speech is? If I tell you what the Bible says about same-sex marriage and it upsets someone, I could be guilty and held accountable for hateful speech. That's in our lifetime. That's in our lifetime. What about education? How many of you remember what one of the first things you did when the school bell rang? What was one of the first things some of us did when school bell rang? The pledge? Well, they still do that. Even though it's been court several times to take out One Nation, it's still there for now. But you know it's already been tried. But some of you did mention the other thing with prayer in school. The entire school prayed. The class prayed. And now, that is illegal. And now, a court can decide whether a state should have a display of the Ten Commandments. The state of Texas still has this display because it's been there a long time. But Alabama, federal courts ordered that the statue having the Ten Commandments be removed from state property. And of course now, if you don't like it, you just get in a car. And if there's one there, you just make yourself famous and just drive it, knock it down. And our courts now tell us it's that because of the overwhelming scientific proof that evolution is a fact beyond doubt, that it is against the law to teach creation in school. To teach that God created the heaven and the earth, it is against the law. But you can teach that the universe came out of nothing, that something made nothing into something, and billions of years turned something from nothing into what it is now. That's what, and this is in our lifetime. Entertainment. Wow. I grew up, just in my lifetime, I grew up watching the A-Team. Anybody ever have MeTV out there? You notice when the A-Team shoots at someone, you know what they always hit? It's always the ground. No, I want you to watch. Just watch. It's always the ground. And of course, it always makes the cars fly up and, you know, and it blows out tires. But there's no one's hit. No one's hit. And now it's different, isn't it? It's not cool if it's not, you don't see. I mean, have you seen a change? And you know, when I love Lucy. Desi and Lucy slept in separate beds. I thought that was always strange. But now, you know, they used to have what they called a certain time of the TV where it was understood that certain shows were inappropriate for the viewing audience. Is that changed? And you're in our lifetime. Lawlessness is at work. And be careful that we don't think it's just happening to them, because we ourselves might be conditioned, you know, like the frog in the bowl of milk. Frog landed in a bowl of milk. It's cool and just swam around. Someone just turned up the heat. And it just slowly, the frog just adjusted himself to death. He just acclimated to the temperature change, never realizing what was happening before it was too late. We can be affected that way. I know you've heard that before. Sport. We used to go to the Spurs game for $5. You know what some of the playoff tickets were going for? You know, I'd like to take my grandchildren to Fiesta, Texas. I'm not against it. I've lived there since, but I haven't been. But I don't know if I want to pay $50 a person. Entertainment is taken on. Where are they going? And you know, they believe is entertainment has become a platform for social reform. Right? And you know, they're choosing to portray Christians as backward, ignorant, phobic, disordered, dysfunctional. So, the base respect and honor that the church and a Christian family once had has been tainted by this. There's always some evil behind there. No one's really righteous. No one's really good. It's just all a pretense. They're the ones, these social elite, who flaunt their bodies and flaunt their wealth and flaunt their liberty and their lifestyle. They're the ones that are enlightened now. that's in our lifetime. Religion. You would think that at least in the church, those who name the name of Christ, at least there we can stand our ground. How many denominations now actually have someone who is a participating lesbian or homosexual in the position, not just a pastor, but a bishop or a cardinal in authority? So, okay, I just wanted to spend some time for us to see it's happening. We certainly need wisdom on how to respond. We don't need to lose heart. The Holy Spirit said this would happen. He said that the second coming wouldn't take place until there was a great falling away. Are we seeing it? Yeah, we're seeing it. We're seeing lawlessness increase. We're seeing these things happen. But just remember, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Here's kind of what happened in Psalms 2. Psalms 2 kind of describes the attitude in the world. It's not new. It's just increasing. Jesus didn't say lawlessness would begin. He just said it would be multiplied. It's been in the earth a long time. But Psalms 2 describes the attitude of the rulers of the earth. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, "Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us." Do you see what they're saying? They take counsel together against the Lord because there's strength in the majority. And since now a majority of Americans believe it's correct, it is correct. Right? No. But what are they saying in this, the strength of numbers and this vocal boldness and this openness now? They can actually parade right down the street. They don't have to live in the closet anymore. Is they're going to bring it? And they're going to hold it and flaunt it in your face. You're going to paint rainbows across the crosswalks. And they're going to say, "Let us break their bonds." You see what they're saying? Let us cast away their cords. In other words, let's cast off the restraint of that old-time religion. Let's cast off the restraint of those puritanical, backwards, Anabaptist Christian people in their morality. And let's finally get to where we can do whatever we want. That's the attitude. It's not new. It's been there a long time. And you know who they gather against? It says that they gather against His anointed. Well, who is the anointed of the Lord? Our Lord Jesus Christ is God's anointed. And you know the very reason He was anointed? It says that Thou hast anointed Him with the oil of joy above His companions. Because why? He loved righteousness and He hated lawlessness. That's why He is the Lord's anointed. So, you remember what Jesus is going to say? When He sums up, you know, you in Matthew chapter 7, many of you know this, when Jesus, during the Sermon on the Mount, said, "Not everyone who says to Me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of My Father which is in heaven. Therefore I shall tell you plainly," "depart from Me." Do you remember what it says? Some of you used to the King James would say, "Ye workers of iniquity." The actual Greek is, "You workers of lawlessness." Some one word. What they did or how they lived may have looked very different from one to another. But here's what they had in common. It wasn't according to what God said. So in other words, depart from me, you who did what you wanted, irregardless of what my Father said. Depart from me. Wow. That's sobering, isn't it? The Bible says that lawlessness will continue to increase to the point where society becomes so corrupted and controlled by it, we become the enemy. Christians become the enemy. Look what it says about the woman, Babylon the Great. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Because you know who opposes Christianity the most? Those who want it their way the most. We're at enmity with the world. As a matter of fact, the Bible says friendship with the world is enmity towards God. If any man chooses to be a friend of the world, he makes himself the enemy of God. They are so diametrically opposed. There's no ability to get along. This is back in the book of Revelation. And I'm quoting from Revelation. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority. And the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Do you see that? Everyone is profiting by this openness, by this, have it your way. Have it your way. Enjoy. Grab it. Go for all the gusto. Grab it while you can. Everyone is profiting from that spirit. But listen to what the angel of the Lord says in the midst of all that's going on. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. And do not partake of her sins. And it's like he's saying, or else you are going to receive of her plagues. If you and I partake of what she promotes, then don't blame God when we experience what she is going to get. Very clear warning. And I just want you to, I want you to see what's going on in our country. I want to give you a picture. I want to leave you with a picture of this liberty in our country. And I want you to take a look at it. It wasn't hard to find. I just had to type in. I didn't create it. This is those in our country who have the idea. This is what we stand for now, right here. It's sad. And listen to the word of the Lord. Don't be caught up in the spirit of the age. Don't be caught up in the corruption of this society. Know the word of God. Love the word of God. Jesus said this, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And it's only the truth of God's word that's going to keep us from being affected by this mystery of lawlessness that is creating what we're seeing now. All right, let's pray.